Good morning, brothers and sisters. This is your brother Dan, and this is a service of the Virtual Church of Little Saigon in Utah. It is April the 17th, 2022, right around 8 a.m. Mountain Standard Time, that's Utah time, and today is Easter. And I would say to everyone that he is risen. Everyone who can hear should know that he is risen. That our Lord in heaven rose from the dead. That he took the sins of the world on his shoulders as a man and as the Son of God. And he felt every crack of the whip, every torment, every insult, every chunk of rotten fruit or vegetable that a Hebrew or a Roman or someone else might have thrown at him as he was pushed along towards the mountain, as he was pushed along towards Golgotha. He felt it all because he took that burden upon himself. He felt the sins of the world. I mean, consider all of the millions and billions of people that have lived. Consider all the mistakes that they have made, and he took that upon himself. So today is the day we celebrate the fact that our Lord is just and our Lord is wise, but our Lord is kind. Our Lord forgives, and he expects us to learn how to do that too. I know you haven't heard from me in a while, and it's been more than a year. And I don't have any easy answers to that. I would say I cannot do any type of service like this if I have questions, not about my faith in God, but about the other parts of the message. And perhaps it's no accident that this is the first service I've been able to do in more than a year. Perhaps it's because I put myself up to it. Perhaps it's because I got a few emails from a few people. One can never know for sure unless one is God. And I can't tell you for certain if there are going to be more services for all sorts of reasons, not the least of which, you know, this period of human history we're in. I know that humans, lots of humans, in your life and on TV or on your smart device, will tell you that modernity is a fixture. It is here. It has always been here, and therefore it shall always be here. The electricity, the phones, the radio, all of it, the gasoline will always be there. But as Christians, we should know that the only constant in this fallen world is the love of God. That's it. Everything else is like the wind. Everything else is like the weather. It is here today, it is gone tomorrow. But the love of Lord Jesus Christ is permanent for all time. It is more solid than any mountain you'd find in the Rockies. It's deeper than any ocean you could possibly visit. It is capable of healing in a way that no drug ever developed by people could or can ever heal. And it is always there. No matter what goes on in our lives, it is there. The love of God. So yeah, I have a lot of work. I have a lot of work to do, spiritually speaking. And before I could even attempt to say I'm ready to be a minister, I should remind everyone listening, as I pointed out in podcasts going back a year, especially the ones where I use coarse language, as disciples of Christ, we're all supposed to be ministers. That's not a message that I think any of the churches, quote unquote, want to get out there. But the reality is, as disciples, we're all supposed to do this work, the work of helping our neighbors, our brothers and sisters, in their faith, in their process, along their path to God. We are supposed to be ministers, every one of us. It doesn't mean we all have to form a big church. That's not my point. But what it does mean is that we cannot use as an excuse the fact that the official churches, you know, might be failing God. Therefore, either A, there is no God, or B, there is no need for ministry. Both of those statements are false. There is a Lord in heaven that is kind and loves us, and we do need to be ministers, all of us. If you expect your good friend Dan to do all the work necessary so that your faith can be strong, then you need to think on this. You need to pray to God for discernment, and you need to pray for understanding. No one person in the history of people, no one person, no one human being could possibly be the only servant of God. The ideal situation is that we are all servants and disciples. So if your question is, Dan, are you going to do a service every week? I might not. I'm not going to tell you something I'm going to do if there's a chance I'll break that promise. All I can say is, this morning, I am doing a service because this morning I feel moved to do so. And this morning, I do not feel lukewarm vis-a-vis the subject. If I feel lukewarm, I'm not going to do it. I'll be hot or I'll be cold, but I'm not going to be another mediocre voice in the service of God. Not at this point in history, not at this time. The first reading is from Psalm 28. To you, Lord, I call. You are my rock. Do not turn a deaf ear to me, for if you remain silent, I will be like those who go down to the pit. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift up my hands towards your most holy place. Do not drag me away with the wicked, with those who do evil, who speak cordially with their neighbors, but harbor malice in their hearts. Repay them for their deeds and for their evil work. Repay them for what their hands have done, and bring back on them what they deserve. Because they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, and what his hands have done, he will tear them down and never build them up again. Praise be to the Lord. For he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy. And with my song I praise him. The Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation for his anointed one. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Be their shepherd and carry them forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from Luke 6:17 through 6:42. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you, and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. If anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord in heaven, we receive the Holy Spirit in your name. Our eyes see clearly when your voice is heard. The enemies of righteousness are confused and dispersed. Demons are driven away at the mention of your word. We pray to you, O Lord, that our hearts might be softened, that our minds be made clear. And in our pursuit of your love, we find a way to love those we cannot, to forgive those we will not, to understand those who are misunderstood, to shelter the poor and the sick, to care for those with shattered spirits, and to forgive as to be forgiven. In your name, Jesus Christ, we serve. Amen. The next reading is from Mark 15, 33 through 16, 20. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And at 3 p.m, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him, but go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard it, that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for the lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into the heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago, and we were talking about forgiveness. And, you know, just as a preface, this particular friend of mine, I consider him a true spiritual counsel. I met him in 2020. I won't say more specifically about him because I like to just, you know, do my best to protect the privacy of my friends. But the other day we were talking, and he said, "You know, Dan," and I'm paraphrasing here, "We should forgive, but just because we forgive, it doesn't mean we accept or that we can be friends with someone. Like, you can forgive someone for something they did to you, and you can say, 'Go in peace.' But does forgiveness mean acceptance and friendship?" And the answer, I believe, is no. It's a harsh answer because a lot of people believe, well, if I've been forgiven, I can be your friend, but these are separate issues. Forgiveness is about the eternal life. Friendship really is about the book of Ecclesiastes. And if you haven't read the whole book, you should sometime, because I believe it's one of those books that pulls the Bible together. It's not the only one, but it's one of those books that really connects the Old with the New Testament. And it describes the world we live in, even though we need to live and we should try to live the kingdom life. This world is not the millennium kingdom. It's not Eden. It is a fallen place, and it's filled with curses. Curses put upon us by God. And the curses themselves, you know, can be seen from a different angle, but the bottom line is, this is a fallen, imperfect place. Bad things happen to good people. You won't always like or love everybody, but that doesn't mean you can't forgive, and that doesn't mean you can't have peace. In recent years, I've encountered some interesting people. I have been lucky enough as a person, lucky enough in terms of Christ's love, to meet some interesting people that have turned out to be really good friends, and people I can't imagine living without at this point. But then I've also met some other people. Other people who are interesting, but they were grifters, they were con artists, they were people, yeah, pretty much with agendas that were opaque to me, not at all transparent, not at all understood by me, these people. And one or two of them fall into the category of, I don't have an easy way to forgive. I mean, and that's the thing. That's where I'm sinning. It's something I have to work on. I have tried to work on this my whole life, you know, this idea of how do you forgive. My friend gave me, I think, a really good roadmap for understanding Christian forgiveness. That, hey, just because you forgive somebody does not mean you're going to want to be around them, okay? Sometimes we have to accept the fact that the actions that we participate in, the things we do, have consequences. Yes, everyone can be forgiven, but that doesn't mean everyone will be forgiven. And everybody can be forgiven, but that doesn't mean everyone's going to be your friend. And everyone can be forgiven, and everyone is forgiven by Christ, but that doesn't mean we're ever going to have eternal peace on earth, because again, this is not the millennium kingdom. You know, kingdom will come, but we're not in it right now. And this is not Eden. So if we're thinking about things like unconditional perfect love on earth between people, we can forgive, but that love thing, you need to read the curses, all of them. Throughout the Bible, every single curse that is developed in this fallen world still sticks with us. whether it's the curses of Adam and Eve leaving, you know, paradise, or the curses of our Lord in 1 Samuel chapter 8, you pick a particular book of the Bible, you'll find some curses. And in some way, these curses are meant to instruct, but the fact is they all point to one thing, and that is this world is imperfect. This world is filled with pain. There will be days that you are happy and days that you are sad, and that is completely separate from whether or not you can forgive or be forgiven. Another way of looking at this is the hatred we carry is a burden. It's an absolute burden, and in some ways, it's a barrier to our love of God and to God. You know, God loves us, but our ability to love Jesus is impacted by how much of this hate and this anger, how much of these grievances we carry around. I had a hard time most of my adult life trying to forgive my dad. In fact, it wasn't until I was about 45 or 46 that I really started, you know, putting things together in my own head, and I could figure out a way to simply forgive. I'm not saying he was a terrible dad. We just didn't have a very good relationship when I was a kid. And then he died when I was 23. So there wasn't really any way to fix a thing at that point. It was already broken. But what I started to understand was is that, A, my father had his own history that I barely understood. And I still barely understand it. But I have enough pieces together in my head that I'm able to understand. And understanding, in my opinion, my perspective of Christianity, understanding is a feature of this thing called discernment. And understanding is how we are able to get to a place of forgiveness. It's almost impossible to forgive unless you can kind of understand. I'm not saying it's totally impossible. There is forgiveness from complete ignorance, but I'm not sure that is the best kind of forgiveness, because in that there is no learning, there is no wisdom, there is no growth. It's simply, well, you did something bad, I forgive you. I want to understand on some level why it happened. I want to understand why forgiveness in my life is the powerful tool that Jesus gave me. It doesn't mean you have to understand, but I think it helps to understand. A big problem with, again, in my own history with carrying grievances around, is it's prevented me from forgiving myself. I want to be able to forgive myself. I want to be able to go to sleep at night and say, Dan, of course Christ loves you. Of course the Lord in heaven loves you. You know, you're imperfect. You're a bumbling old fool, but the Lord probably loves bumbling old fools as well. But if I can't forgive others, I'll let you in a little secret. My own internal consistency prevents me from forgiving myself for a lot of things. And that's troubling, isn't it? Easter is about the resurrection of Christ. Easter is about the Lord in heaven keeping his promise to redeem his people. Easter is about this period of time, this dispensation we've been in for quite a while. Easter is about hope. It's about love. It's about a lot of things, but it is about forgiveness. Forgiveness and peace. And that these two concepts are related. Nowhere in here does it mean friendship, as I said. Just because you forgive doesn't mean you're going to be friends with everybody. And just because you want peace doesn't mean you're going to be friends with everyone. It just means you want to live in a world where people can act in a way of respect and, I would say, nonviolence and freedom and cooperation, and to avoid the path of manipulation and control, which is a dark path. And it's a path that the human race has been marching down a very, very long time. We have been living through a couple of years of what I have called lies. I don't know what the real truth is. I don't. But what I know today is what I knew 2 years ago. They are lying about the COVID. They are lying about the race war and the race hatred. They are lying about a lot of the Trump, Biden political stuff. They're lying, I think, even about the war in the Ukraine. We are being fed a lot of lies. And there's not a lot of truth. And the problem with that is that people are jumping to conclusions. Oh, the Russians are bad people. Putin's a bad man. Biden's a bad man. These are all bad people. You know, Trump is bad. Whoever doesn't wear a mask is bad, or I should say a coffee filter. Because that's what I saw a lot of folks in Seattle wearing in 2020 and 2021, what looked like used to be the hotel coffee filters you'd get at the hotel. And I would wonder to myself, are they even thinking on what they're doing? The answer is no. When they wear these masks, they are bringing fear upon their brothers and sisters. When they wear these masks, they are sending a signal of doom. No one, in my opinion, throughout history, at least the last 100 years, no one has ever responded to a Bigfoot t-shirt or a Bigfoot sign and said to themselves, oh my, someone is discussing Bigfoot. I'm going to go overdose. I won't treat my cancer. I won't treat my heart disease or diabetes. My business is going to go out of business because someone is wearing a t-shirt that says Bigfoot. So when people say to me, well, Dan, this is a choice I made and you should respect my choice, I respect the fact that you're making a choice. I don't really respect the choice you made. Now, I can forgive you for what you're doing because I'm supposed to as a Christian, but that doesn't mean I want to be your friend. I can forgive you for what you've done, but I'm not going to say, well, it's great you're doing this, because I think there are folks that abuse children who have taken advantage of this masking as a way to to be more efficient in their victimization of children. And it's given other people the out, the excuse to not intervene. Well, I can't see their face. I can't see if they're crying. I can't see that they're in danger. So I can just ignore the other person. We must forgive and we must find peace, but we cannot ignore evil. We must forgive and we must find peace, but we are not supposed to accept sin and say it's okay. But we still must forgive. A lot of people's families and communities and friendships have been blown asunder by a series of lies, and I do not know why they're doing it. I don't think I've met anybody who does. I've met a lot of people who pretend to be prophets. I've met a lot of people who pretend to be prognosticators and are so certain they know why, but I really don't know why. And I'm not going to be one of those preachers who says, well, I'm certain it's the end times. No, as a disciple of Christ, maybe a rather poor disciple of Christ who attempts to minister to his brothers and sisters, I don't know where we're at in terms of the history of the Bible. I mean, could we be in the times that are discussed in the book of Revelation? Maybe. Could we be in a time of prophecy? It's possible. I've read enough prophecy that a lot of what's going on matches what the prophecy says, especially when it comes to people and the church. In those times, the Lord said the church would be a fallen church, but there would also be a kind of uprising, if you want to call it that, of true spirituality. In those times, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers and children, everyone would be turned against everyone. I look at the last 2 years of this COVID, and it looks like a lot of irrational behavior directed at the hatred of one's neighbor. A lot of neighbor hatred, a lot of neighbor envy, a lot of blaming because people were told, well, your neighbor harmed your grandmother because your grandmother died in a hospital. Folks, I've worked in hospitals. Prior to 2020, if your parent died in a hospital, under any circumstances, I would recommend investigating because that's how bad hospitals were at everything, to include managing infections. And yet, people took these accusations from their governments, from their authorities, oh, you harmed someone's grandmother because you went to a party. You harmed somebody's sister because you went to Christmas. Don't talk to your neighbor. Don't talk to your brother. I can forgive. I can. I know I can. I know that I am able to forgive, but I don't have to accept, and neither do you. You should try to find peace, but you cannot find peace with the devil. You can't. You can find peace with other Christians. You can even find peace with other folks who aren't Christians, but they're trying to do what they can to be decent people. But you cannot find peace with the devil, and you cannot find peace with sin, ever. Okay? If a person's in a state of sin, you can try to forgive them, but Jesus wants people to break out of their state of sin and seek forgiveness as well. That's part of forgiving yourself, is breaking free of the grips of sin. As a sinner, I can tell you, that's most assuredly part of forgiveness, is escaping the sin. But still, Jesus admonishes us to forgive. And he does this not because the forgiveness necessarily ever saves the person being forgiven, but because the forgiveness is the pretext for being saved yourself, for me being saved. I don't know that forgiving anybody saves anybody. I really don't. I'm not sure that it ever has. But I do know that if I'm unable to forgive, I probably am going to have a hard time being saved. And one other thing I need to say, because we live in a strange age and people have rather strange notions of right and wrong. You can't force forgiveness, okay? You can't look at one child and say, I order you to forgive the other. You can do that, but that's not how forgiveness works. For forgiveness to function, you have to make a choice, and that implies freedom. You cannot tell people to forgive others, but you can, I think, inspire people to forgive others. That is possible. I just don't think you can force people to do it. If you spend any time thinking to yourself, well, I wish, you know, someone would pass a law that forces people to forgive others for things that they wouldn't want to forgive them for, there is no forgiveness in that. That's just simply compounding one sin with another. Forgiveness, to be meaningful, has to be done without coercion, without force. For forgiveness to be meaningful, you have to want to forgive. Otherwise, you're just speaking words. At this moment, I would ask my brothers and sisters out there to lower your heads or pray in the way you are comfortable, to pray for a few moments silently with me for the people in our lives that need help from God. And there may be a lot. And many of these may be those poor in spirit, and many of those poor in spirit may be those like myself who've had a challenge, a hard time with forgiveness, especially now. Take a moment to think on that issue, but most importantly, take a moment of silence and silent prayer wherever you are to say, Lord, here are some things I need some help with. Here are some people that need some help. Through your grace, through your love, please send your help and your love, Jesus Christ. A moment of silence. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ is risen. Our Lord Jesus Christ took the sins of every person on his shoulders with every whip, every kick, with every slur, with every insult. The Lord went up a mountain and was crucified. And our Lord is risen from the dead. The stone was rolled away and our Lord was not there. The stone was rolled away and our Lord visited his disciples. So on this day of Easter, remember that our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord in heaven, could forgive all the people of all time for all the terrible things they would ever do. And as someone who studied a bit of history, that's a lot of terrible things. And terrible things still being done. And even now, in these times, when so many have turned to darkness, our Lord is still there, and our Lord still loves us, and Jesus Christ has still forgiven you and forgiven me. So I guess what I would ask for this week, and maybe, well, not just this week, I would ask going forward, right, that we all work on this problem of forgiveness. Because at this point in human history, in order to get what we really need, which is peace, we're going to have to do a lot of forgiving. And we're going to have to learn how to tell the difference between forgiveness and acceptance. But these are difficult tasks, so we have to pray on it. So if you can this week, try to forgive someone you've been holding a grievance against, especially if it's a dumb grievance. If it's a grievance that involves anything listed in the book of Ecclesiastes as some sort of ordinary human nonsense, this week try to forgive it, if you can. I will. Believe me, I carry stupid nonsense with me that I can't forgive. I carry ridiculous grievances that I should be able to forgive. So this week, I'll try, and how about we all try together? Go out on this Sunday, Easter Sunday 2022, in peace and love. Go out knowing that the Lord in heaven, Jesus Christ, watches over you and loves you. Amen.